good to see everyone out this evening. Jacob, it's good to have you with us again. We know you made an effort to drive to be here. You are an encouragement to us, and we hope that we are an encouragement to you. So we all strive to help each other as we are heading on our way home to heaven. So at the beginning of the year, I said I wanted to have some theme verses for us to go back to each month, just to help our attitude this year. And to remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There are so many people living in fear every day. Satan is trying to scare us in so many different directions. And it's interesting, Wednesday evening with the short talk, when I was talking about Herod, and when he was persecuting the church in Acts chapter 12 and Acts 11, there is a famine, worldwide famine going on. Then he was going to persecute the church. And what did he do? He put James to death. And then when he saw that he gained favor with the Jews, he sought Peter and put him in prison. And I was thinking, I watch about 5 minutes of news during the week. And this afternoon, when I watched 5 minutes of news, they were talking about one of the politicians that they had followed to the airport, and then they arrested him, put him in handcuffs and in ankle chains. And why did they do that? To put fear in people's minds, to put fear. An upright person, but there are powers that are out there that are trying to cause fear in all of us. And Satan is behind that. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And we're going to look at Jeremiah this evening. So if you want to be turning your Bibles to Jeremiah, and with this plan that God had for us, we know that he had that plan from the time we were born and even before we were born. So this evening, I want us to look at the passion and courage of Jeremiah. And with Jeremiah, we're going to look at several verses, several sections. This is one of my favorite passages, one of many. Jeremiah 29, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah is ready to give up. I'm not going to talk about God anymore. But what does he say? But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Jeremiah could not keep quiet about preaching God's word. And he faced great difficulties of this. So we're talking about Jeremiah the prophet. And when we talk about prophets, we need to remember four places and three times. Where did the prophets prophesy? They prophesied in Israel, in Judah, and in Nineveh, and Babylon. So then those are the four places. And then the three times they prophesied before captivity, during captivity, the ones during captivity, Ezekiel and Daniel, and then after captivity. And the whole message, they were trying to get people to repent. Now, when we look at the book of Jeremiah as it falls in the Old Testament, we see Isaiah before Jeremiah. Isaiah deals with salvation, and there are so many prophecies about the coming of Christ. So remember, Isaiah deals with salvation. We come to Jeremiah. He's going to deal with this covenant that they were not keeping, and then this new covenant that is to come. And then when we get to Lamentations, it's going to be judgment. When we start in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. And as different men have pointed out, there is more negative that needs to be done before you can start and build on the positive. We hear this philosophy today of positive preaching. Just preach positive. Don't preach anything that's going to go against what somebody believes or hurt their feelings. But what did God tell Jeremiah he was going to do? Before you build and you plant, you're going to have to root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. You got to get things ready. It's just like sowing the seed. You got to go get all the rocks out, the thorns, the thistles. You got to work the soil. You got to do these negative things before you can do some positive things. Jeremiah, when we look at him, we're going to see his great accomplishment appears not in what he brought about, but in his character. He was a man that was fearless, he was faithful, and he was passionate for souls. So I thought he would be a good example for us to spend a few minutes so that we can help understand some of those qualities. In all of his preaching, we don't have a record where he saved anybody, but he is held up as one of the greatest individuals in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 3, 8, 9, "Then I saw for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery. I put her away and given her a certificate of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also with stones and trees." So here we have the picture of God being the husband to Israel. He's the husband. Israel is his bride. Israel has committed adultery. How did she do that? By being unfaithful, by playing the harlot with stones and trees, by worshiping idols. Again, and I'm laying some groundwork here before we get into a couple main sections. Jeremiah was called to prophesy in the 13th year of King Josiah, around 100 years after Israel had been taken into Assyrian captivity, 5 years after Josiah's great revival of religion described in 2 Kings 23. And here we see these charts of the prophets lined up with the kings. Again, that the prophets prophesied primarily to kings. They prophesied to all the people, but the kings ruled over them, and the kings were the ones that could make changes or either departing from God or turning back to God. And he prophesied in the 13th year of King Josiah, which was one of the good kings. The young prophet Jeremiah was called in the time of the last religious awakening, which only slowed down the idolatry and apostasy of the Hebrews, for apostasy finally plunged the nation into destruction. Jeremiah would have supported Josiah's reform, but as time went on, he realized its inadequacy to stave off national disaster. Jeremiah preached the law that Josiah had found in the temple. He exhorted the people to obey God, but he became the object of much hostility. And remember, Josiah was the one, the book of the law had been lost, and he found it. He found it, and they read it. And we say, how could that have happened? Well, it happens today. People, they lose God's word. They go to everything, to every what man says and everything else, what they find on the internet. They go to everything except what God says, and they lose God's word, and they need to read it again, just like Josiah had it read. "Speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart." So Jeremiah had a job laid out for him. The people were wicked. Josiah was trying to get him to turn back and do good. They didn't want to. They didn't want to. But walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Again, some of the biggest idol worship that we face today is worshiping ourselves. Instead of worshiping God, instead of submitting and bowing to God, we say, I'm going to do what I want to do. And that doesn't sound that bad, but that's basically idol worship today. We look about things in the world, it takes place in the church also. After the death of Josiah, the people made Joahaz king, though he was not the eldest son of Josiah. Perhaps the people preferred him before his brother because they thought he was fitter to rule. But God soon showed them the folly of their injustice, for within 3 months the king of Egypt came and carried him away prisoner to Egypt as God had threatened. You can't change God's plans, no matter what you try to do. So it does not appear that any of the people were taken into captivity with King Jehoahaz. So I want us to consider a few things in the book of Jeremiah. Marriage, land, a covenant, passion and persecution. And remember, we should get from this that we should not be afraid because God is in control. Let's start in Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Do you think that God doesn't notice us or know who we are? He knows us before we were even born. And with Jeremiah, He knew him. Before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And that goes back to our other passages about God has a plan for us. People are wandering and groping through life trying to figure out, what's my purpose? What's my plan? God has a plan for each one of us. With Jeremiah, it was more direct, but if we open God's word, we can find the plan that he has for us. So Jeremiah was one of the great prophets of Israel. His name means Jehovah is high or exalted of God. He was born a priest, called by God to be a prophet. He was inactive as a prophet in Jerusalem, then Egypt, several years, for about a total of 50 years that he prophesied. And this was a very dangerous time that he prophesied. There was the reform of Josiah, but that was short-lived. There was conspiracy, there was injustice, there was heathenism, luxury and oppression of the poor. And this was the environment that God sent Jeremiah into. So you think back about the history of our country, and when there is wickedness going on, evil and wickedness, and then someone comes in and tries to make a reform like Josiah did, when someone comes into our country and tries to make a reform, do the people like that? They don't. And then they lash out with twice the vengeance, trying to hurt and destroy and oppress. We see Jeremiah teaches us tremendous lessons in the face of trials. Jeremiah was a man full of faith. Let's turn to chapter 16. And we'll look at the first point I have on this screen about marriage. And Jeremiah, he was told not to marry, and he had to, on this faith that he had in God, follow what God said. Chapter 16, verse 1. The word of the Lord also came to me, saying, "You shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place." That sounds like a strange thing for God to tell someone. Verse 3, "For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who are born in this place, and concerning their mothers who bore them, and their fathers who begot them in this land, they shall die gruesome deaths. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried, but they shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their corpses shall be meat for the birds of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. For thus says the Lord, do not enter the house of mourning, nor go to lament or bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, says the Lord, loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, cut themselves nor make themselves bald for them, nor shall men break bread in mourning for them to comfort them, the dead, nor shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or mother. Also, you shall not go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and drink. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease from this place before your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride." What is God telling Jeremiah? He's telling him, don't get married, don't have children. There is going to be this disaster that is coming. People are going to die gruesome deaths. They aren't going to die of old age. They're going to die gruesome deaths. They won't even be buried. They'll be like garbage. They'll be like refuse. They'll be consumed by the sword and by the famine. Their corpses shall be meat for birds of heaven and beasts of the earth. So don't get entangled in a marriage and start raising a family, because I am bringing judgment, and you need to stay focused on what you're going to do. So when Jerusalem was besieged, with the next point here, with the land, Jeremiah bought land for redemption. Now think about this. He knows they're going to go into captivity, and he's preaching his heart out, telling people they need to repent. He dedicates his life wholly to that. He doesn't have a family, but he is so sure that he can put his trust in God, and he's doing this. And not only is he sure with the promises of God that they are not going to stay in captivity, but what does he do? He redeems land for when they are brought out of captivity, so that he can have this when they return. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah said, this is verse 6, Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, will come to you, saying, buy my field, which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it." So the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah saying, your uncle is going to come to you and tell you to buy a field because you have the right to it. Verse 8, then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord and said, please buy my field. This is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and redemption is yours, buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So just think, if we knew that we were going to be invaded by another country, and we're going to be taken off into captivity, and someone, not your uncle, but a realtor comes up and knocks on the door and says, I've got a piece of land. You want to buy it? Are you going to do that? Are you going to go through and buy a piece of land and have it recorded, knowing that you're going to be taken into captivity? Jeremiah did. Jeremiah did because he had faith in God. He knew they weren't going to stay in captivity, but that they were going to be released. Verse 9, so I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, who was in Anathoth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver, and I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses and weighed the money on the scales. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. Do we see the faith that he has? Did he have fear? Knowing everybody was against him, he was thrown into this mud pit of a prison several times and lowered down by a rope and faced persecution all around him. The people didn't want to hear this message, turn back to God, because they were all worshiping their own evil thoughts. But Jeremiah, he listens to God. He does not entangle himself with a marriage and children because he knows what is coming, but he knows the rest of what God says, that it's not going to be forever. Because of your sins, I'm going to send you into captivity. And just to show you that I'm God, I'm going to bring you out of captivity, and you will go back and reestablish worship in Jerusalem. And that leads to the next point, the covenant. The covenant. Turn back a chapter to chapter 31, Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. And again, you see the picture that he's painting, where God, like a father, leads them by the hand. He leads them out of bondage. And he says, I was like a husband to them. And we had this covenant, and they broke it. Verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. And here we see an allusion also to the crucifixion of Christ, where he was offered. He was offered once for our sins. Their sin I will remember no more. There is this continual remembrance of sins under the old law. They had to keep offering sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Christ only died once. Once. He shed his blood. Sins were forgiven. There was no need for a continuing sacrifice. And we see as Jeremiah is speaking, and we see this sorrow over the sins of the people, and we see sympathy while speaking God's judgments. And when we talk to people, we first need to get them to understand that when they do not do what God says, they miss the mark, they sin, and that separates them from God. And then we want them to see, just like God doesn't want them to be lost, we don't want them to be lost. And then we don't come at them overbearing and forceful. We want to use compassion and sympathy. We should feel for them just like Christ feels for them, just like the Heavenly Father feels for them. You go through the Beatitudes and the Gospels and you see how compassionate Christ is toward people. And if we are children of God, we should have that characteristic of compassion. And a lot of times we don't. We don't feel for people. We don't sympathize with them. We might say, well, that's the way they are. They're never going to change. Well, that's, you know, they deserve what they get. Friends, maybe that's so, but we need to show compassion to them. Jeremiah, we see as he's going through different things throughout this book, the passion that he has and the persecution that he goes through, and God is with him. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Jeremiah 1:18, "For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar." Now, does that mean that Jeremiah didn't suffer harm? No, he suffered a lot, but God was with him, and he made him like a fortified city. God's purpose was not going to be stopped by what people tried to do to Jeremiah. They were not going to be able to stop his message. "I've made you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." Do you have people fighting against you? We do. And we've got to have the spirit, we've got to have the mind. If the people prevail, it's because we gave in, because God is going to be with us. God will deliver us. And it's just like when we battle with Satan. Can Satan make us sin? No. He can tempt us. And it's just like the example. He's very powerful. He's like a very powerful dog on a chain, but he is chained, and he can only come so far. Now, if I step inside that circle where he is on my own will, then I'm going to get eaten alive. But that dog can't hurt me unless I go to that dog. Satan can't hurt us unless we go to Satan. And over with all of us, we think, well, you know, Satan's doing this and he got me to do that. And Satan has his own punishment, but we have free will, we have choice, and we can choose, just like with the Israelites, we can choose to obey God or disobey God. When we obey God, we are going to receive our reward. When we disobey God, we're going to receive another reward. Isaiah was threatened with death. He was mocked. He was imprisoned. Chapter 26, 8 and 9. "Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord commanded him to speak, and all the people that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, 'You will surely die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and the city shall be desolate without an inhabitant?' And the Lord and all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord." How would you like to feel like all the people turned against you? Sometimes maybe we do. Jeremiah did. Did he give in? Did he give up? Nope. And he's an example for us. He was accused of being a traitor, accused of being a false prophet, a troublemaker. He was called a fanatic by family and friends. So he was on his own because he stood for God. But he was courageous because God was with him. Again, back to 1:19, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. And we need to remember, when we are walking with God, He is with us. He is with us, and He will deliver us from whatever comes our way. It may not be the way that we would like to or that we think it will be, but He will deliver us. We need courage in the face of temptations, in the face of false allegations, in the face of enemies that we face. And when you think about His message, why did people hate Him? Because He told them what they needed to hear. They were living against God's word. He denounced sin. He didn't say, oh, come as you are, God loves you, He's going to accept you. He said, no, you need to repent. You need to repent while you can, because God's judgment is coming. God's wrath is coming. But He also taught that of God's mercy, you repent and there's going to be a future restoration. You think about this in our own lives. When we sin, punishment is waiting for us. God is going to bring punishment on us. But when we repent, we see God's mercy and we are restored to a right relationship. Our life parallels the story of Israel when God gave them a law back on Mount Sinai. They started digressing, going away from the law, worshiping idols. You can tell different points where it jumped tremendously, but like when God said, don't marry any of the inhabitants, utterly destroy them, don't take wives from the people. They didn't listen to God. They married foreign women. Those foreign women led them astray into idol worship. They got farther and farther away from God. So He brings His judgment on them. But again, it's showing He has mercy. And just Jeremiah was an example. He had his faith, again, because if you know you're going to be taken into captivity, I'm not going to go out and buy a piece of land. That's going to be the last thing on my mind. But if I know God is going to release me from captivity, and God said to do this, then I'm going to do it. And just taking that a step further, this book is full of things that God tells us to do, and we don't do them, and we aren't even threatened with captivity like Jeremiah was. It's not that we don't know what to do. It's like when I was talking several weeks ago with the story about the man and the farmer in another country, and he said he only could harvest about 10% of his crop, and someone said, that's amazing, why are you only able to harvest 10% of the crop? And he said, I'm not able to find workers. And that's the story of us looking for people. It's not that there aren't people out there to save. We can't find workers. But Jeremiah was an amazing man. And thousands of years later, let us learn from Jeremiah and Jesus to truly trust in God. Even when the message is hard for people to hear. And from Jeremiah, we should learn, never stop speaking God's word. Never stop. We don't face any kind of persecution like Jeremiah did. We should never stop. And when we speak God's word, we should always speak God's word with compassion. Just think, if we come across somebody and we are the only person that they come across with that has the truth. And just think if we yell at them and talk down to them because they aren't a Christian and we don't show compassion. How is that going to help them? It's not going to help them, and we're going to have to give an answer for that. Always remember, we are not responsible for the results. We are responsible for sharing the gospel. Again, Jeremiah, we can't read of anybody that repented and turned back from his preaching, a lifetime of preaching, but he's held up as one of the greatest preachers. We don't wait till the time is right. That time's never going to come. We need to just get busy doing what God says. And we need to be busy in season, out of season. Like we were talking this morning about redeeming the time. Because so many things go wrong because we waste time. Jeremiah's message of judgment was delivered with tears and never won a convert. It was an unwelcome message to the people, but because those people didn't listen to the message, they spent 70 years in captivity. See, I have set this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. I had, if we had some time, some other passages just to mention. I'll just mention a couple of these. There's a lot of famous verses in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:5-6, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then I said, the Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Jeremiah 2:32, "Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." You ladies that have gotten married, do you remember what you wore on your wedding day? Would you forget what you wore on your wedding day? And Jeremiah is saying, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? But what about the people? They forgot God. How can you do that? How can you do that? "Run ye to and fro the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know and seek the broad places thereof. If you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." Couldn't find any righteous people there. Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and seek and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Jeremiah 9:1, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Jeremiah was full of compassion. There are many notable passages in there. I want to end back with Jeremiah 29. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak of him anymore in his name, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." Friends, that should be something that all of us say, that God's word is in our hearts like a burning fire. It's in our bones, and we just can't keep from talking about God's word. Again, do we talk about going to heaven? Where is our heart? Where is our heart? Is our treasure in heaven, or is our heart in the things of the world around about us? I hope that this has helped us so that we will have more courage, not have a spirit of fear, understand God is with us, and we can face each and every day when we live right with God and know that our sins are forgiven. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to make correction in your life, the invitation is yours. We invite you to come now as we stand and sing.